I'll ask you to open in your Bible to the book of Philippians in chapter 3, Paul's letter to the Philippians. In this section of the letter, he's giving his testimony. The Apostle Paul often gave his testimony, but here is one account of it in a very interesting form. He's talking about those who have confidence in the flesh early in the chapter, and we'll begin to read in verse 4. Those who have confidence in their own works as a way of standing before God. And in verse 4 he begins, "Though I myself have reasons for such confidence." If anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowledge of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to that which we have already attained. Now, as I mentioned, this is Paul's testimony. And one of the things he speaks about in his testimony is his title to heaven. His standing of acceptance before God. His knowing that God will accept him as a righteous man and admit him to God's eternal kingdom. His right to eternal life is based on a righteousness that comes from outside himself. It is an alien righteousness. It's not his own. It is a gift that is given to him when he has believed on Jesus Christ. That is the righteousness in which he is clothed to be accepted before God. But his testimony proceeds to show that in being united to Jesus Christ, he receives more than justification, or this righteousness of that admits him to a proper standing with God. It includes also sanctification. Justification is what Christ did for him in washing away his sins and providing him with righteousness before God. Sanctification is what God did in him. Justification, what God did for him in Jesus Christ. Sanctification, what God did in him through the Lord Jesus Christ. Bringing by the Holy Spirit a righteousness into his very being. And last week we noted that there are three stages or three aspects to sanctification, the actual making of a man righteous within himself. And the first stage or the beginning of sanctification comes when a man is born again. New birth is the washing away of the corrupt nature and the renewing in a man of a new heart. And that is the start of righteousness within me. However, that is not a completed work when a man is born again. It is only the start. And there proceeds after being born again or regeneration a whole lifetime of progress in becoming more and more conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. A process that is lifelong of being made like Jesus Christ in righteousness. And of course, this whole process of being made righteous within ourselves is completed in glorification. Turn to 1 John for a moment in chapter 3. And just notice in 1 John 3, John's expression about the completion of righteousness in the believer. The completion of the work of sanctification when a man is glorified. 1 John 3 and verse 2, "Dear friends, now we are children of God. We've been born again. We're born into His family. We are the children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when He appears," that is, when Christ appears the second time in His return to earth, "we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is, instantaneous perfection in the likeness of Christ, because we see Christ as He is." Then in verse 3, he goes back not to the completion of this work of sanctification, but to the process, everyone who has this hope in Him, this hope of one day seeing Jesus Christ, and upon seeing Him, instantaneously becoming perfect in righteousness, everyone that hopes for that in this present life is in the process of purifying himself. Again, Christ being the pattern of that purification as He is pure. Now, the verses in Philippians are discussing Paul's attitude and thoughts about sanctification, about his becoming righteous in his person. And in verse 15, he tells us that his attitude ought to be the attitude of every mature believer. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things as I take of them. That my life is a process of sanctification, of becoming more and more pure and righteous. And much of the language that he's using in this third chapter of Philippians is the language of a man who's in a foot race. You especially see that in verse 14. "I'm pressing on toward the goal to win the prize," just as those who were in the Olympics were seeking to win the gold. He is seeking for a prize. He is running a race. And that's what he's telling us about his life. He is in a foot race. He is a participant in the race. And he says everyone who is a mature Christian ought to think about his present life as a race. And Paul describes the race in chapter 3 as only a runner could fully understand racing. Because he talks about the race mainly from the standpoint of mental attitude, his frame of mind. And the frame of mind for the race of sanctification is all important. Now, if you are given to racing, it might be very easy to run against people who aren't very fast. It might be very easy in your own neighborhood to run against other people and expect to win every race. But after you've won a few races locally, you go on to the districts. And then when you go on to the districts, you're always racing against people who are fast, people who are athletic, people who are strong, people who have endurance, and all of the runners with whom you compete are good. And when you reach that level, your mental attitude becomes all important. And often, it's the man with the best mental attitude who wins the race, who wins the foot race. And Paul says, sanctification is like running a race, and mental attitude toward being holy is all important to the Christian. So Paul gives us some of the elements of his mental attitude toward the process of becoming holy, toward reaching the goal of perfection, toward reaching the prize. And the first thing that Paul tells us is that he is focused. A runner will know what that means. He is focused in the matter of holiness. You see it at the end of verse 13. He said, "One thing I do." In other words, my whole mind is focused on one thing. And all of my energies are being brought to bear at this one point of running the race. Now, this is necessary to winning a race. Concentration. All my attention, all my energies are on this one thing that I am doing. I'm going to become like Jesus Christ. I'm going to become more holy. I'm in a race. You see, if you are in a race and your mind is indecisive, or if your mind is wandering, or if you're worrying about other things than the race that you're in, you could lose because of your mental attitude. You are not focused. You are not concentrating on the thing that you are doing. You do not have a keenly directed, clear goal with all of your energies straining to accomplish it. And that's what's necessary to win the race. You can lose a race because your heart isn't in it. Your mind is somewhere else. And he says you can lose the race for sanctification in the same way. This one thing I do, my life is dominated by the desire to become more holy, to become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And every Christian who claims to be mature ought to have the same attitude, as he said in verse 15. His frame of mind, he was focused. Second thing in his frame of mind, the goal was in his sights. Clear goal was set. He knows exactly what he plans to reach. Verse 14, I press toward the goal. I plan to win the prize. I plan to come out number one. I plan to get the gold. I know exactly what I want to do. Translating this into the language of sanctification, as we saw back in verse 11, I want to be amongst the resurrected from the dead. I want immortality, body and soul perfected in the likeness of Jesus Christ. And you see in verse 12 that he uses that idea of perfect. My goal is to become perfect in righteousness, perfect in moral purity. I am aiming at nothing less than perfection. That's the goal of the Christian in sanctification. You see, Paul is saying in his life he is driven by this goal. It is important to him. He thinks about it. He is focused upon it. Verse 12 is very interesting in the way that it speaks in the second half of that verse. He says, I want to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. When I became a Christian, it was because Christ took hold of me. Why did Christ take hold of me? He wanted me to be holy, devoted to the Lord. He wanted me to be righteous. Well, I want to become righteous, and I want to lay hold of that for which Christ laid hold of me. I want to strive for that which Christ took hold of me for. Not only did he plan to dress me in his own righteousness before God, he planned to infuse his righteousness within me. And there's a process of doing that. Is that a major aim of your life? Is righteousness a thing that is important to you? His frame of mind, he's focused. The goal is clear, very clear in his mind. The third part of his frame of mind is to realize that he hasn't reached the goal yet. He didn't get there yet. He aims at perfection. He aims at immortality. He hasn't gotten there yet. Now again, sometimes a runner loses intensity in a race And he loses intensity because he thinks that he's got it won. He thinks that he's got it locked up. He's won all the races leading up to the big race. He's even beaten the other people that he's running against in this race. He's trained very hard. He's the fastest one. He ought to be able to win the race. And so he thinks, it's in the bag. I've got it. And he loses intensity and he loses the race because he thinks he's already there. And nothing hurts the Christian in sanctification or becoming more holy like the theories of perfectionism that come into the church from time to time. The idea that a Christian can become perfect in this world. So long as you are in this world, you are in the race. And that means that you haven't reached the goal. There is something still to be pressed forward to. Notice how Paul puts it in verses 12 and 13. He says it over and over again. And as Christians, we ought to read this over and over again. Paul was an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul wrote this book near the end of his life when he had served the Lord as an apostle. And he said, I have not already attained this. I have not already been made perfect. I want to make it plain. No perfection for an apostle. But I am pressing on. Verse 13, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of the goal. I haven't. I haven't reached it yet. No Christian is perfect while he's in this world. Sin remains in the apostle. Sin remains in you. Sin remains in me. We have not attained the goal of perfection. And that causes tension, doesn't it? I am aiming at the goal of perfection. That's my goal, moral perfection, righteousness. All the time realizing I'm not there. All the time realizing that as long as I live in this world, I won't get there. But I'm in the race and I'm heading for the goal. But it's important to remember that we have not attained the goal. All his mental attitude, he is focused, a clear goal in view, realizing that he hasn't reached the goal yet. And then he gives us a fourth element of his attitude in verse 13. Don't look back. Important instruction for somebody who's in a foot race. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but this one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press toward the goal to win the prize for which I am called heavenward in Jesus Christ my Lord. Now, when you're in a race, there are many parts to it. There's coming out of the starting blocks. Interesting phrase, because there were blocks of stone, sometimes granite, in ancient Greece stadiums that were used by the runners to get their start, putting their feet against the blocks and making a fast start. In the middle of a race, it might occur to a man that he made a poor beginning of the race. He didn't start as well as he usually does, and starting is one of his strong points. And in the middle of running the race, it might occur to him, I didn't do that as well as I know how to do that. And his mind may begin to drift backward to the early part of the race. Oh, if I had only started better. I know how to start better than that. Why did I make such a poor start in the race? If he begins thinking like that, if he begins thinking about the past, he can lose the race. Maybe in the first few steps of the race, he stumbled. And there's a temptation to say, why did I stumble? Is there a stone back there? Turn his head and look. I stumbled. I lost ground by stumbling. Was there a good excuse for stumbling? Maybe if I look back, I can explain it. What made me do that? But if he looks back, he's going to lose direction. He's going to lose speed. Did you ever try to run as fast as you could while you're looking the other way? Can't be done. Don't look back, the apostle says. You cannot make any progress by looking back. Step Stay focused on what is ahead. I am straining toward what is ahead. It's the only way to win the race. Keep looking ahead. Forget what is behind. Press on toward the tape, toward the end of the race. Now, I dare say that this is one of the most frequent mistakes that is made in sanctification, in hindering people in the Christian life, in keeping them from becoming more holy and more useful to the Lord. It's the most human thing in the world, if you have stumbled, to want to explain it, to wish that you could start all over again, to wish that it didn't happen, and to get your mind bogged down in the time that you fell into a sin. To look back, expecting that if you give a full explanation of what happened back there, that somehow it'll help you to win the race. And it doesn't do that. It never does that. It takes your mind off of what is ahead and what still has to be done. And the Christian life and sanctification is like a race. Looking back and living in the past and dwelling on what is behind, even in your mind, will hinder you from running. Now, there are constant fads that come into the church. Fads really ruin churches. Popular fads. And there's a popular fad now that's beginning to come into churches, again through the charismatic movement where so many of them have come from. It's called spiritual healing as opposed to physical healing. And the idea of this is that somehow you get a person to sit down with a counselor or with a friend and spend hours going over all the past things in his life that were painful and wrong and sinful. And if you go back over it and think about it and talk about it long enough, there will come spiritual healing and you'll become a better person. Now, do you see the contrast of that with what the Apostle Paul is saying? Forget what's behind. Press on to what's ahead. It's the only way to get there. It's the only way to win the race. Now, there are bad counselors and there are good counselors. But sometimes bad counselors take people back into the past, and they keep taking people back into the past, and they leave them back in the past, thinking about all the mistakes they've made, all the painful things that have happened in their lives, all of the sins of other people that have made them less than what they had hoped to be, and thinking about all the things that are so sad in the past, that's where people are left, depressed in the past. How is it possible that a good counselor, in order to help you, may have to go into the past to understand your problem? But if he's a good counselor, he will not leave you there very long, but will take you out of the past to press on to what is ahead. And to focus again on what the goal is, and to look forward with hope and expectation and belief that it is possible to make progress and that there is real hope of accomplishing the goal that lies ahead. And what the apostle says, I forget the things that are behind. I made mistakes in the race. I had the worst beginning of anybody. I started to blaspheme Christ when I first heard of Him. And I persecuted Christians. And I made all kinds of mistakes at the beginning, but that's all behind me now, and I don't think about that, and I don't live in that. I am pressing onward, and I am looking at the end of the race, and I am running with all my might to accomplish the goal, and I'm making progress because I'm not looking back. Now, isn't it true that you find it easier to become morose about the past? Oh, I fell into that sin last week. And to just turn that over in your mind and live upon the past and what you did wrong in the past and what you said to somebody and what somebody said to you and how you treated somebody and how they treated you. And you just go over it and you just go over it and over it. And the hardest thing in the world is to focus on the world to come, the coming again of Jesus Christ, the resurrection from the dead, the perfected body, the perfected environment of a new heaven and a new earth, the perfected spirit that is sinless upon seeing Jesus Christ, the progress that can now be made in becoming more and more like Him. hard to focus your mind on those things. It is easy to think about the past and to get bogged down in the past. Well, you don't know what that person did to me 4 or 5 years ago. You don't know how I was treated. People can't get past the past. The way to sanctification is more of the hope and expectation of the desired end. Strain toward what is ahead, says the apostle. That's what I'm doing. I'm straining toward what is ahead. What is ahead? What is ahead? You can't say it too many times. Everybody wants to go back to the past. What is ahead, says the apostle. If you want to be holy, put your eyes on what is ahead. It's the only way to make progress in a race. The only way. Of course you're not perfect. You haven't reached the goal yet. The frame of mind in sanctification is all important in this testimony of the apostle. But we do need to express here that exertion is also needed for sanctification. There are many theories of passive sanctification in which a person really doesn't do anything. You've heard the phrase, let go and let God. Let God do it all. Sanctification is not like justification. Justification comes in an instant. Sanctification begins when we're born again, but takes a lifetime until the coming again of Jesus Christ when the process is completed. Justification comes all through faith in Jesus Christ. Sanctification, although it needs faith, is the acting out of faith and the energetic effort of the Christian who does believe. I don't know if you've ever paid attention to some of the great athletes before they run a race. You see it especially with skiers. If you watch downhill competition in skiing, the way they try mentally to image the race that they're about to participate in. You see the skiers standing there and they're going this way and then going that way, and they're imagining in their mind that they're going down the hill, turning this way, then turning that way, then turning that way, and their bodies are moving a little bit, but they're not really in the race yet. They're just mentally imaging it. Now, obviously, if that's all a man ever does, mentally think about the race but never run it, he can't win it. He has to run it. There has to be energy. All of this mental focusing and concentration has to be joined to moving the sinews and the muscles of the body to actually doing it. Discipline, plans, efforts to be holy in heart and conduct. Learn as much as you can about holiness. Study the law of God so that you know what it is. Pray for the help of the Holy Spirit. Pray again. Resist the devil. Flee temptation. Flee youthful lusts. The Bible gives all of these commandments. Choose friends and activities that help you to be holy and not those that drag you into the sins of the world. So run that you may win the race. You have to run. You have to put energy and exertion into it. Don't get sidetracked on small things. Look what Paul says in verse 15. If you are mature, take my view of these things. Well, we may disagree on some minor points. If on some point you think differently from me, well, God will make it clear to you what you need to think. Let's not talk about the little things. Let's talk about the major things. Focus on the goal of perfection. Remember that you're not there yet. Don't look back. Press on with all your might. And if you do that, if you differ with me in some little things, God will show you in due time what you need to know. And then he says in verse 16, don't lose ground. Only let us live up to what we have already attained in the race. If you've gotten somewhere in the race and you're not to the end yet, don't fall back. You may not be at the head of the pack yet. You may be number 10 in the pack. Well, don't lose ground. Don't fall farther back. Don't sit down and let everybody get way ahead of you.
Don't lose ground in the race. If you've made progress in sanctification, live up to the progress that you've made. If you've had a battle with excess and alcohol, and you've beaten that problem, don't fall back again. Don't lose ground.
Now, this is an astounding instance of Paul's bearing his heart and his testimony, because there's fire in almost everything that he says.
I'm in a race, and I want you to run the race the way I run the race.
You can feel his heart in it. He wanted to be holy as Christ was holy. Now, isn't that a picture of a Christian? What would you think of a person who wanted to appear to other people to be educated, but he really wasn't interested in studying? You say, yeah, he just wants the degree after his name. He doesn't want to work. What would you think of a person who wanted to look like an athlete? He wanted the best running shoes. He wanted the shorts. He wanted the shirt. He wanted the number on his chest, but he didn't want to run. What do you think about the person that says, I want to get to heaven when I die, but he doesn't want to be holy? Same category. Do you want to be holy? Do you have a desire to be like Jesus Christ? Do you have a desire to make progress in righteousness? That's what the gospel is about, righteousness. Standing in righteousness before God, yes, but having righteousness, really righteousness in your own being. Do you want Christ as your Savior, but not Christ as the Lord of your life? Do you want justification, but not sanctification? What kind of Christianity is that? Paul says they're both immensely important to him, and they ought to be immensely important to you. Are you in the race? One other reflection on these words of the Apostle Paul. How foolish is the person? Sometimes people don't come forward and get baptized and begin to follow Jesus Christ because they think, wow, my life is a mess and I've got to get it all straightened out before I come to Christ. Get it all straightened out before you come to Christ? The Apostle says that I've been in this race all my life, and I'll tell you, I haven't accomplished it. I'm not there yet. You can't get it straightened out before you come to Christ. Coming to Christ is the start of the race. It's signing up and saying, let me on the track. Give me a starting spot. Let me get started in the race. It's the start to become a Christian, not the end. And the foolish thinking that I've got to get everything straightened out in my life before I begin, it's a lifetime. And the perfection and getting everything straightened out doesn't come until Jesus Christ returns again and His people see Him in His glory and they become like Him, instantaneously like Him, because they've seen Him as He is. Enter the race. Sign on as a Christian. Then get into the starting blocks and run a whole life of pursuing righteousness, pledging not to stop running until you reach the finish line, straining forward, energetically keeping your focus upon things that are ahead and running toward the things that are ahead. You begin by speaking to Christ, by asking His pardon for your sins, by asking Him for the Holy Spirit, by pledging to run for a lifetime in the race which is toward righteousness. Well, that's the Apostle's view of Christianity. And he says, anyone who is mature should look at it in this way. Do you have a childish view of Christianity or a mature view? Well, let everyone who is mature look at it the way I do, says the Apostle. Let's pray. Our Father, we live in an easygoing society in America where people want everything ready-made, and they want everything to be handed to them with no trouble and no work and no struggle. But we've learned long ago that the precious things and the things worth having
demand discipline and focus and determination and a long time of training and running and striving. We do long for holiness, and we thank you that there is a holiness that we can receive through faith in Christ that is perfect and immediately gives us a standing before God that we are accepted with Him. But we would not be like those hypocrites that want to look like we're righteous without having the real thing, and we long to be like Jesus Christ Himself. And if we are robed in His righteousness before the Father, we long to be within our inner man exactly like Him too. Help us to so run that we may attain to the prize. And give us the Holy Spirit. We pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.